Now, we had quite a stack of questions on, should baptism by immersion be a prerequisite to church fellowship? We won't read them all because they all were basically the same. When we talked about baptism, I think we made it clear that the pattern in the Word of God is they gladly received the Word. They were baptized. They continued steadfastly. We saw that that process happened in a matter of hours, not days, months, or years. It happened. And so this idea that you're saved and then you wait a long time, then you're baptized, then maybe you wait a while, or you're saved and baptized, then you wait a while, and then finally you're received. Of course, one of the things that we've got in our brain sometimes that we have to turn back to Scripture is the idea that reception is reception to the Lord's Supper. It is not. It's reception into the fellowship of the people of God. There was an assembly I visited where I wouldn't have been received at the Lord's Supper. I was there on a Wednesday night, and I said to the brother, "Thank you for receiving me into your fellowship." He was offended. He didn't think he had received me into his fellowship because it wasn't a Sunday morning at 10 o'clock in the morning, you see. Well, it's just as much reception into fellowship when we pray together and study the Word of God together as when we break bread together. That's all part of the fellowship of the local church. So we don't want to make the Lord's Supper into some sort of like a mass, you know, where this shows whether you're a member or not. Getting a chit, like you're going down to some church and they check you out and make sure that you pass and you get your little chit so you can get in and take the emblems. That's not the idea. You're received into the fellowship. And that includes all of this. So it's not a matter of just saying, well, that's it for the hour and a half on Lord's Day morning. So the pattern is clear in the Word of God. The question is, do we receive those who are weak in the faith? A person who has struggled with this issue, a person who doesn't understand, what do we do with them? There are lots of cases I had in the notes there, cases of people who are untaught, people who, through circumstances, have not been baptized. Maybe they are in the frigid north and there's no open water. Grace Pell, when she was baptized, they had to break a hole in the ice in the Grand River to baptize her. But generally, we are a little more accommodating than that. Because sometimes it turns a symbolic baptism into a real one, a funeral rather, into a real one, and we don't want to do that either. There are cases where wives are forbidden to be baptized by their husbands, or the children, underage children. There are those kinds of cases. And again, this is why we have elders and not a computer program. This is why we have men who have discernment. And it may be in one case that there is a man or a person who's a rebel and they will not submit. They will not, well, say, "Brother, you won't be happy here. If you don't want to work with the elders here, if you don't want to submit to how things are here, you probably won't be happy here." You know? So the elder should discern. If this man is a rebel or this person's a rebel, they don't want to submit, well, then you just tell them. Maybe you'd be happier somewhere else. But if it's not a matter of that, if it's a matter that they haven't been instructed and so on, to keep them out for that reason, again, my question is, how long is this list that we're going to have of things that you have to have checked off before you get in? I think that's the concern, isn't it? So to make it an entrance to the universal church, we think that's a bad thing. Should we then make it an entrance to the local church? I think maybe the idea was in the early church, there were people who hadn't heard about believers' baptism. As soon as they heard about it, they were happy. They got baptized. So if someone's unwilling to be baptized, if they rebel against the idea, then they probably won't be happy here. But if there are other circumstances involved, I just would really be nervous about setting up a series of things, hoops that people have to jump through in order to get into the fellowship of the local church. The idea is if they don't understand it, if they don't get it, we receive them and we teach them. We teach them these things. So having said that, this should be an extremely rare situation. As my grandfather said, I've been at the door for 50 years. They're not trying to break down the door to get in. Most of them are trying to break down the door to get out, right? So this is not going to be something that's going to happen every week. The majority of Christians should have been taught that this is the pattern: saved, baptized, received into the fellowship of the local church. So I think sometimes it's a bit of a red herring. I don't think there are, that issue comes up all that often. I think it's kind of a bellwether for people. This is orthodoxy. This is how it is. And again, we say, yes, the pattern is there. And we believe it, we teach it, we practice it. And personally, I believe that everyone in the local fellowship should have been saved, baptized, and then received into the fellowship. That's how it ought to be. But surely there are certain situations, certain cases, where the elders make a judgment, and they should be free to make that judgment. And they shouldn't be looking over their shoulder at what some group down the road thinks of the decision they have made, because we believe in the autonomy of the local church.